sickness and rain.
I'll be your witness.
Through ups and downs.
I'll be your witness.
Scattered all around.
I'll be your witness.
Don't you talk about me.
I'll still be your witness.
Scandalize my name.
I'll still be your witness.
False accuse me.
I'll still be your witness.
Point fingers at me.
But I'll still be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness because
I'll be your witness. I'll be your witness.
To the swift or the strong, but
I'll be your witness.
To the world.
I'll still be your witness.
To the world.
I'll still be your witness.
Gotta hold on.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
1 Corinthians Chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. I want to look at that first part of verse 2 where he says, for I determined not to know anything among you. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Ain't nobody got no time for that. Ain't nobody got no time for that. I know that saying was made famous by a woman who interviewed on television of a complex burning, and she said she had gotten bronchitis and declared, ain't nobody got no time for that. But Paul seems to be suggesting the very same thing. Different circumstances, different situation, but same reality. But first, when you look at this word, you'll understand that he's speaking first and foremost to the Corinthians, but yet in the larger context, he's speaking to the people of God as a whole. Corinth was a place of great culture, was a place of great commerce, and yet it was also a place of great carnality. Corinth was a place wherever you wanted to find whatever your vice was, Corinth had it. Whatever your poison was, Corinth had it. Whatever your perversion was, Corinth had it. Whatever you engaged in a worldly fashion, Corinth had it. It was a combination of the Big Apple, the Big Easy, and Sin City rolled up into one. And so Paul is dealing with the Christians who are in Corinth and helping them to understand that there must be a maturity in their character and there must be some resemblance to Christ in their talk and in their walk, and there must be a unity of love and of support for the things of God. That their witness must make a statement, so much so as to allow the Corinthians to know that Christians live in Corinth. But one of the problems with Christians who have not yet fully been converted is instead of them taking the church and bringing it into the world, they take the world and bring it into the church. Have I got a witness this morning? And too many times, Paul suggests that we major in minor things and we minor in major things. In other words, Paul deals with the fact that we don't deal with things that matter most. We deal with most matters. You'll catch that on your way home. I say we don't deal with things that matter most. We deal with most matters. And Paul hears this word and he deals with the fact. He says, and I, brethren, brothers and sisters. So it's clear that this word is to the church, it's not to the world. He says, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. When he talks about excellency of speech, he's talking about elevation and education. He's talking about matriculating for universities of higher learning, institutes of higher learning. He's talking about superiority in language. He's talking about excellence in speech. He of whom was well qualified to speak excellently. He who spoke 12 to 14 different languages fluently. He who was at the top of his society, especially being a member of the intelligentsia, he could speak with the best of them. And yet he makes clear, I have not come to you dealing with polysyllabics, multisyllable words or phrases beyond your comprehensions. I came to you with plain speech. I didn't use the wisdom, and this word wisdom comes from the Greek word sophia, which actually means both worldly and or godly wisdom, depending on which reference you use. But he says, I didn't come, and in this context, he's dealing with the worldly wisdom that they were used of in hearing many of the worldly philosophers and those who thought that they were excellent in themselves. He said, I didn't use all of the things of this world to talk to you or to give you the testimony of God. I made it plain. The testimony of God is this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have life eternal. I made the gospel simple. One of the things that he's trying to help them understand was that there was a mixture of that worldliness in the church, and it was tainting and staining the godliness that was supposed to be infiltrating the world. And so he makes clear when he starts off in verse 2, he says, for I determined. First thing I want you to focus on is determination. You see, one of the things that Paul knew was that the church was having issues. They were having cliques and groups and factions. He knew that Christians weren't acting like Christians. They came here acting like worldly folk. They were tattletales on one another, and they were investigators of their own sort just so that they could tear down another brother or sister. They pointed fingers at everybody but themselves. And Paul knew that there were divisions in the church. And when he came, everybody wanted to bend his ear about who didn't do what and who did do what. Everybody wanted to say what they wanted to say, but did not want to say what God wanted said. And so Paul, before he ever made it there, had already given himself a determined mind not to get involved in all that foolishness. Paul wanted to make clear that one of the problems in the church was that they were there for the mess and not the message. They were there for gossip and not the gospel. They were there to tell tales and not the truth. And so he says, for I determined, made up my mind. Listen, brother, if you can't tell me nothing good, if you can't tell me nothing godly, don't give me no garbage. Ain't nobody got no time for that. And how different would our churches be if folk made up their minds that I'm coming to church to hear the word of the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord? That's what I want to know. I'm not here interested in Peyton Place activities. I know I'm going back to old school talking about Peyton Place, but I want to let you know that there must be a resolve in your own heart that even before you leave home, you ought to make up your mind that I'm going to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise him and to give him glory, and will not be submitted to all that mess. I hear some of y'all quiet. Maybe your foot is hurting right now, but that's, stay with me, stay with me. I'm going to help you out. For I determined. Some church folk don't come to church but for church mess. Come to see what they can see. Come to see who has on what. Come to see what's going on, what they can hear. Can't tell you what the message was, because they're more interested in the mess going on around, or what is the hearsay, or what they say it happened here, what's going on with that, who's going with who. Looking at who they can get. You ain't got to talk to him. I'm going to preach it anyhow. Whatever the issues are, that they're here for the wrong reasons. Talking about one another instead of talking to one another. Not focused on God. For I determined not to know anything. Reminds me when the scribes and the Pharisees brought the woman who was taken in adultery. Jesus was in the synagogue teaching. That ain't what they wanted. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to hear the word. They didn't want to hear the Lord speaking what was worth hearing. But the moment they got a break, they brought her in, wrapped in a sheet, drugged through the city, tear-stained eye, hair all disheveled, stood her up in the front of the church and said, Jesus, we have taken this woman in adultery, in the very act. Moses in the law says one such should be stoned. But what do you say? I'm glad I'm not Jesus. Because I would have said, first of all, if you took her in the very act, it's not adultery if she's by herself. Y'all catch that on. It may be some other sin, but it ain't adultery. Because she needed another person for that to be adultery. So where is the other? But Jesus just listened because he knew what their motives were. And the Bible says he stooped down on the ground and started writing. And I like the old theologian, the old Baptist preacher said, what he might have written was sin after sin after sin after sin after sin. And they kept on talking. And Jesus kept on writing as though he did not hear them. And they say, Master, what do you say? And Jesus raised up and he said, all I have to say is he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. The Bible says they began as he stooped down again and started writing on the ground. The old preacher said, now he started writing names. And when the old preacher said that, he said, they started at the eldest, the older, the leaders. And he said, they look, he said, because he figured the next time he was going to connect the dots. I wish I had a helper in the house. So one by one, they began to walk out. Then Jesus stood up again, and there was nobody there who had accused the woman. And he said, woman, where are thy accusers? And there were none. Where are those who want to condemn you? And since there were none, he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That was not the ending that they wanted. But Jesus didn't have time for that. He knew that they wanted to destroy her life when their lives were not perfect and holy themselves. You need to be careful about the folk that bring you mess, because most times when they bring you mess, they're trying to hide the mess that's in their own lives. Talk to me, somebody, if you hear me this morning. And so he says, I determination, not to know anything that's details. Because you can know the sin without knowing the details. See, that's how the devil gets you. Did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? No, I didn't. Well, let me tell you. No. If so-and-so fell, then the problem is he has fallen. What caused him to fall is not my immediate concern. My immediate concern is to get him up as quick as we can and dust him off and get him in a right place of repentance so that he would not walk around with guilt and grief riding through his life. You see, what the devil wants you to do is slip and then slide. And when you do that, you fall further into the mess. The Lord want to pick you up as quick as you can, dust you off, and get you right. All have sinned. Somebody say, all have sinned. Now tell your neighbor that includes you. Tell your other neighbor that includes you sitting up there looking all holier than thou. Who he talking about? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. Don't need no details. That's the problem. You're not really concerned about the brethren. You're concerned about mess making, about tearing down somebody. All of us get weak sometime in some area for some cause. No sense in you acting like you all of that. Because if you were, God would not have to have sent his son to save you. You could have done the job yourself. Well, he says, I don't need to know details. Next time somebody come to you with some mess, tell them, say, listen, let's pray for the brother. Let's pray for the sister. Let's go to God on their behalf. Let's counsel with the brother. Let's counsel with the sister. Let's see what we can do to help them. Don't need to know the details. If you're hungry, then my job is to feed you. Not to ask you why you don't have no money and can't buy no food. I don't need to know the details of that. If I'm helping you, then I need to help you. God deliver me from folk who want to know all your business before they give you a helping hand. Well, how did this happen? Really? Really? You got that much time? You really want to know what happened? But yeah, I like to.
Lord Jesus.
He didn't want to know details. He said, all I want to know when he says save Jesus Christ. It's the only thing I want to know around here. It's the only thing I want to know about here. That's the only thing I've come for here. Jesus Christ, the destined Son. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son. She shall, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. That's all I'm going to talk about. You see, because if Jesus be preached, he is able to destroy yokes and bondages and strongholds. If you just preach Jesus, Jesus can give direction to those who don't know their way. Jesus can give strength and power to those who are weak and wounded. Jesus can lift up a bowed down head and a broken heart. If you just preach Jesus, ain't got time to be preaching all the gossip, all the mess that's going on. All the happenings in your city, in your town, and did you hear about what happened to this and all of the social justice, etc.? My job is to preach Jesus. And if I just preach Jesus, the word is clear that there's deliverance in that name. There's power in that name. There's purpose in that name. If I just preach Jesus, the anointed one, every situation, every circumstance, every problem you have. I like the way R.W. Shambach said it. If your problem is not greater than the resurrection, then you don't have a problem. That's why I want to preach Jesus. I guarantee you, whatever's going on in your life, if you give it over to Jesus, or he'll make a day. Have I got a witness in the house? I don't care how broken you are if you just give you to Jesus. I don't care how bad your situation is, how funny your money is, how difficult your life is, if you just give Jesus a chance. The destined Son. But then look what it says, and him crucified. And that's the divine Savior. Because it is the crucifixion of Jesus that puts into place all that is necessary. By his stripes, we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we see it's because he was crucified. See, it was because he went through, paid a penalty that was meant for you and for me. And because of his blood, he was able to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So between Jesus and the crucifixion, he's got everything covered in our lives. That's what people need to hear. Jesus, he is the light of the world. No darkness can comprehend him. But here's what the devil knows. If he can keep Jesus out of our churches, that the church will become nothing more than a great social club without power, without holiness, without the ability to heal, or without ability to help, without the ability to be whole. If the church does not have Jesus, the church is not the church. And he wants it clear that none of this other stuff matters. Nobody have time for that. But we do have time for Jesus. We ought to make time for Jesus. We ought to spend time with Jesus. We ought to give our time to Jesus. And what a difference he'll make in our lives. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
A non-attorney spokesperson.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When choosing a lawyer, it's important that it will be one that has compassion, empathy, experience, and is willing to fight for you. Attorney Jonathan Goins is that attorney. Attorney Goins grew up with humble beginnings and has always excelled in every part of his life. He is driven to succeed and works hard for his clients because it can become overwhelming getting slammed in a car wreck or an 18-wheeler smashing into you. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For more information, the number is 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. For Attorney Jonathan Goins, a proud sponsor of this station.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God.